Moramai. Good morning. I'm Judith Lay and this is Praise, the programme that connects faith and daily life. Manx Radio. Welcome to another Praise podcast. On this programme, we remember Martin Luther King Jr. Andrew and Georgia from Church's Bookshop would love you to come and meet a special friend. I find out why Reverend Richard Hall is waiting for a bus, and Anne Clark shares her passion for poetry. But first, a hymn, another from the pen of James Montgomery. Stand up and bless the Lord.
Stand up and bless the Lord, you people of his choice. Stand up and bless the Lord, your God, with heart and soul and voice.
Coventry Singers and Stand Up and Bless the Lord. Tomorrow is the third Monday of January, and in the United States it'll be a federal holiday to celebrate the life and achievements of Martin Luther King Jr., the American Baptist minister and activist who became the most visible leader in the civil rights movement from 1954 until his assassination in 1968. Born in Atlanta in 1929, Reverend Dr. King is best known for advancing civil rights through non-violence, a tactic his Christian beliefs helped inspire, and for which he won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1964. Here are some of Martin Luther King's words taken from the American Dream sermon that he preached in Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia in July 1965.
With God. America is essentially a dream. It is a dream of a land where men of all races, of all nationalities, and of all creeds can live together as brothers. The substance of the dream is expressed in these profound words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. One of the first things we notice in this dream is its amazing universalism. It does not say some men, but it says all men, which includes black men. It doesn't say all Gentiles, but it says all men, which includes Jews. It doesn't say all Protestants, but it says all men, which includes Catholics. That is something else that we notice in this dream, which is one of the things that distinguishes democracy and our form of government with other totalitarian systems. It says that there are certain basic rights that are neither conferred by nor derived from the state. In order to discover where they came from, it is necessary to move back behind the dim mist of eternity. They are God-given. Every man is the heir of a legacy of dignity. God is not interested merely in the freedom of black men and brown men and yellow men. God is interested in the freedom of the whole human race and the creation of a society. And finally, as we struggle, we do not struggle alone. It's dark sometimes. It's difficult. But that is something that consoles us along the way. We are convinced that our cause is right. I return knowing that we are moving into a bright day of freedom. Yes. And this will be the day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, yes. Free at last, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
The words of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., whose life and legacy will be celebrated with a federal holiday tomorrow in the United States. The music is from the Boys Choir of Harlem. It seems ages since I spoke to Reverend Richard Hall, leader of the Methodist Church on the island. So when I saw him yesterday, it was a good opportunity to find out what he and his churches are planning for this year. Last year was really dominated by the exhibition on the island of the Methodist Modern Art Collection. So I began by asking Richard if it had achieved all that he'd hoped it would.
Yeah, I think it did. I think it's opened a number of doors. I think the fact that we were able to work ecumenically was really, really good. And certainly there have been creative things that have happened as a result since. We're still looking at some kind of follow-up events. And we've also been looking at the possibility of establishing a Christian art collection on the island. That's a very embryonic thing at the moment, because there are a number of artists on the island who produce this kind of work. But to have things available for churches to borrow, to be able to use in worship, because I think one of the things that came out of it was that a lot of preachers found themselves now enabled to use some artwork in worship and to reflect on it, where probably it had been something that people didn't have the courage to do before.
Looking to this year, Richard, what is interesting you or challenging you about what this year might hold?
Well, this year feels like a really exciting year, because we're working towards two new major projects in connection with Cliff College, which is our lay evangelism training college in Derbyshire across. And they're looking at new links. So from September, we will have something called Cliff Lotal going on the island, basically offering training to a group of about 30 people across the circuit, and probably wider than that as well, training in mission and evangelism. But alongside that, also equally excitingly, they're providing us with a placement student. So one of their people will come for a year starting in September, and we'll be working specifically with some of the churches in the eastern section to enable and help them with mission. So it's doing two things. It's actually providing some extra hands-on capacity, but it's also providing training for local people.
The training for local people, will that be on and off island? How will that work?
The intention is that it will involve a number of weekend visits to the island from people from Cliff College, with then distance learning going on as well during the year. And for those that want to, it can result in a diploma qualification through the college.
This is making training of a high quality much more accessible to people who couldn't, for all sorts of practical reasons, go away to college, but they can get the same benefits in this way, can't they?
Absolutely, yes. And we've had an ongoing relationship with Cliff College over the years, but the old pattern was very much that they sent a group of people to do mission, and it was great, but when they're gone, we were left thinking, so what do we do now? This is about building up people on the island to be able to do mission and evangelism work more effectively.
Richard, I'm noticing that the pattern of worship in the Methodist churches is including more services that you describe as congregational praise, which are led by members of the congregation. Is this all feeding into the same thing, so more people can feel confident about leading worship?
Well, I think incidentally it is, yes. It was probably a response in the first place to not having enough preachers. That would be the initial reason for it. But actually, people have welcomed it. We had a rather negative title for it. We used to call them own arrangements, which sounded a bit kind of second best. Congregational praise says, no, actually, the congregation is perfectly capable of organising its own worship. And in lots of places, people are really welcoming and embracing that opportunity and finding it something creative rather than something that just covers a vacancy on the plan. And just about to arrive on the island in the next few days is our Bus Benacton welcome vehicle, which is going to be used as a prayer resource and also to be at things like the Southern Show and the Royal Show, but essentially to extend the programme of prayer that we've been working on over the last 12 months to make the resource available in some of our more remote spaces. So that's a project that Steve Ingrall has been very much involved in and motivated, and we're hoping to see that starting up, well, anytime soon, really, as a resource for the church.
Bus Benacton. Now,
Bus Benacton.
How big is it?
Well, it's something I'd not come across. It's something described as a welfare vehicle. So it's not that large, probably like a long wheelbase transit type size, but a vehicle that has the facility to provide hot drinks and, you know, hospitality. And it will be equipped with resources to set up prayer stations, and it will become what it becomes. But as a starting point, it sounds incredibly versatile to me and a really exciting project.
And an absolute first for the island.
Well, you see, I'm told that many, many years ago, we had a Wesley deaconess on the island who had a caravan, which she used to take around doing similar things. So it's probably not a first. But yes, it's not been done for a long time.
Is this something that we own? Is it going to be permanently on the island, or is it on a trial basis?
No, it's something that we will own, that the Methodist Church will own, and, you know, be available to the circuit. And I guess once we're up and running, we'll be available to others as well if they've got a mission use for it.
Where will it be based? Who will look after it?
It's going to be based in Union Mills. Obviously, that's central and they've got the facilities. And then it'll be administered through our district office. But Steve is the person to talk to about the full details of this, I think, because it's very much been his project. But it's one of the many things that we're getting really excited about this year.
And rightly so. I think Busbenacton is going to make a big impact on the island. I'm sure with your creativity and something so versatile, it's got to be good. Reverend Richard Hall, thank you very much indeed for talking to me.
Thank you, Judith.
And needless to say, I'll be on that bus and finding out more about it just as soon as possible. A few days ago, I popped into Church's Bookshop in Howard Street here in Douglas to catch up with shop managers, husband and wife, Andrew and Georgia Wedgwood Main. Supporting and developing the Manx Christian Writers Group is part of the bookshop's ministry, and before Christmas, Andrew set a challenge for group members as he invited them to write a story in just 100 words with the title The Stork That Brought Baby Jesus. Now, 100 words isn't very much, and I did really wonder if anyone would take up the challenge. But they did.
We're really pleased by how high the level of entrance was. So pleased, in fact, that we couldn't pick one winner, but two. So we have joint winners, which were Linda Wildman and Catherine Jenkins, or Kat Jenkins. They both won with pieces, just 100 words, of The Stork That Brought Baby Jesus, which gave us a good chance to laugh and some really good quality writing as well.
So did they both take a humorous approach or very different approaches to it?
They were quite different. Linda's piece was almost poetic. It was beautifully done. You can always see it as a children's book. In fact, I'd quite like to encourage her to do that. While Kat's was more prose, perhaps a bit of dark humour in there, but definitely a humorous take on both, but a very different way of looking at it.
The title is a bit of a giveaway. It was something themed around Christmas. But this Christian Writers Group, which is for anybody, it is not just for published writers, it's for anybody who enjoys a bit of writing, would like to get into it, or is into it already. Is this an ongoing project for you, Andrew?
Absolutely. It's something that we talk to some of the local authors who we sell the books in the shop, and they realised that a lot of them hadn't met each other. So we expanded from that, that actually let's get people who want to write and are Christian, whether they are writing already or have a project. So many people have that idea in their head of a novel or a book they want to write and don't quite know where to start. Well, this is designed to be a community for people who can share stuff online. We have a Facebook page, a Manx Christian Writers Group, and you can find that through Church's Bookshop or on its own. We have an email sort of chain so we can all email each other, and we also meet once a month at Broadway Baptist Church in the Well. I can't currently give you the next date because we're still sorting it out, but it's near the beginning of each month, and again, if you go onto Facebook, that will always be very well publicised.
Now, Georgia, you have got the task of organising a visit of somebody who's got a lot to share with us, who's going to come over to the island. Tell me who it is, Georgia, please.
Yes, it's Michael Munika. He's a youth worker from Kenya. He's a personal friend of mine and Andrew's. He also works for Children Worldwide Kenya, and he just has a really amazing testimony. And the bookshop's going to be hosting a few events where he can sort of share his testimony, and he's going to be cooking an authentic Kenyan meal for people as well.
We'll be talking more about this nearer the time, but give me an idea, Georgia, of some of the events.
So we're going to be hosting four events around the island at Peel Methodist Church, St George's, St Andrew's and Colby Methodist. And the idea will be just 2 hours in which there'll be a Kenyan meal, a talk from Michael about his work and about his testimony as well. And also there will be an exhibit of artwork by Evans Nyan Gesser. We currently sell some of his art in a bookshop, but there'll be some of his bigger scale paintings and things on display, as well as his crafts. There's a limited number of tickets available, so 30 available for each event, and we're charging £5 for adults and £2.50 for children. That's just to cover costs, and any extra money will go to the church's hosting and also to Children Worldwide Kenya and the work Michael's doing with them. And all the sort of times and events will be on our Facebook page. They'll be posted on a poster on our door and hopefully in church notices.
The dates this is happening are?
In the evening of Friday the 8th for February, there'll be an event at Peel Methodist from 6 to 8pm. The afternoon of Saturday the 9th of February from 11.30 to 1.30 at St George's. And then again the evenings of Monday the 11th and Tuesday the 12th of February, there'll be events at St Andrew's and at Colby Methodist respectively, 6 to 8pm.
You're moving it around the island and also making events weekend and evening so it's accessible to people who are working. So people can have a look at Church's Bookshop on Facebook to find details of this, or of course pop into Church's Bookshop, very easy to find in Howard Street, just alongside the Promenade Methodist Church. And of course you're open 6 days of the week, Monday through to Saturday, from 10am to 4pm. Now, we're talking about coming into the bookshop, but one of the big things, Andrew, that you're keen to do is to get out, to go to churches, to go to events. That's something you're really keen to do more of, isn't it?
Key to the ministry of a Christian bookshop in the modern world, and particularly for us here, is saying that these four walls are not the bookshop. The bookshop is the mission, the ministry that has been going on for nearly 50 years now. And so we're really passionate about getting the bookshop out of this walk-in cupboard. We love it. We've crammed it full of stuff, but we can't wait to take some of that stuff out and show it off at events. If churches want a bookstall, approach us. We will say yes. If you're worried we won't sell anything, still invite us. We just are happy to be there and happy to show what we can do and talk a bit about the ministry of the shop. We also are arranging for some authors, some really great authors to visit, particularly our first author will be coming in May, a lady called Emily Owen, who's got another incredible testimony. She'll be doing some book signings and some speeches, so there'll be far more where that came from.
You can keep right up to date with news about Church's Bookshop on their Facebook page, facebook.com/Church's Bookshop. Anne Clark has a passion for poetry, and she'll be joining us regularly to share a favourite verse. Today she chooses from the work of Lancastrian Phoebe Hesketh, who was born in 1909 and made her name firstly as a talented nature poet. In later years, she said that she'd left nature behind, and her work was all about change, loss and old age, things with which she was only too familiar. At the age of 17, she'd left school to care for her terminally ill mother. As a mother herself, she was devastated by the tragic death by drowning of one of her sons, and she died in a nursing home at the age of 96.
Ward F. 4 by Phoebe Hesketh. There is no weather in my room. A white cube, bare except for a bedside chest. One chair. The window behind my bed looks blind on a blind wall. But I cannot turn my head. No sky, no sun. One lamp with hard green shade is my daylight and nightlight. No flowers, please. No when to put them except on the floor. I face the brown door, stare at the black knob, waiting. Nurses come and go, brisk, kind under crackling starch. They give me pills, injections, and make cheerful remarks about the weather. But there is no weather in my room. For 12 months I have not seen a tree or a blade of grass. I think I could walk again if I saw grass. I shut my eyes. I can see more with my eyes shut. Heather, a bright stream, the flash of a bird. Autumn, winter have wasted away. Today is the first day of spring, and nurse says the sun is shining. My spirits are up, my limbs are supple, and I'm running over grass where the willow lets down her yellow hair. Toffee-brown chestnut buds unclose fingers, soft as silver fox. There's movement among branches. A speckled thrush swings and sings, frilling the needled larch with promised green. Blossom and cloud pile high, higher as I pass. I am free. The grass is warm, yielding to my feet. The door opens and the doctor comes in, returning me to the white cube. He talks of tests and treatment. He makes no promises. Improvement is slow. Visitors come and go, bringing rain on their coats or a bunch of flowers. Only they bring the weather into my room. And when they're gone, I am more alone than before, waiting, watching the door. The clock ticks on.
Thank you for listening to this week's Praise Podcast. There's a new Praise Podcast available every Sunday morning. You can subscribe for free on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Spotify via the Manx Radio smartphone app or at manxradio.com. So, until we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for your company, and I wish you and those you love every blessing in the days ahead.